time for Blessed to Play on EWTN Radio, uncovering the role that faith plays in the lives of sports professionals from around the country. And now, here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Fire, score!
My guest today, Chris Singleton, enjoyed a career in Major League Baseball that would span six seasons, and now he primarily serves as a game analyst for ESPN Radio's Sunday Night Baseball and postseason broadcasts alongside John Shambi. Chris, it's great to have you on. Blessed to Play.
Hi, thanks, Ron. It's good to be here.
Well, I'm going to ask you to put on your analyst hat first, and then we'll get into this distinguished baseball career you had in the major leagues. But we're seeing with the Yankees now the addition of Giancarlo Stanton, a packed lineup. There's not much parity now in Major League Baseball, and you could quantify it with small market, but certainly the bigger market teams bring in the bigger TV revenue so they could go shopping and really pack a team. Is this good for the game?
I don't know how to answer that exactly. I mean, I think that it's definitely exciting for Yankee fans to have Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton. If you just want to look at two giants, if you will, of men that can hit the ball a long way, but you also have Gary Sanchez that goes in there. It's pretty dangerous what they're going to roll out offensively. So Yankee fans, I think, are pretty excited about it. There's still a little cause for concern, I think, with their pitching. Just to kind of shore that up, starting rotation depth. But across the board in baseball, it would have been interesting to have seen Giancarlo Stanton go to perhaps a team, not in a big market per se, but maybe more of a mid-market, that he could have been the guy that pushes them over, sort of the top to be into the postseason and perhaps deep. But we'll see how it plays out. I mean, the Yankees had a goal of dropping their payroll some, and adding that doesn't help. But, they just traded Chase Headley, and they're looking at still being able to be a little lower than they were last year with some money coming off the books.
Well, certainly the fans in New York are smiling from ear to ear and hoping. I think anything short of a World Series championship would be, not appreciative by the New York fans. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I do. I think that when you have, even though you still, got to have solid pitching at the start and at the end, when you have the players that they're going to have offensively in that lineup, there's a high expectation, especially since it's New York. So I feel this way, that if you add Giancarlo Stanton to this team, then you have to do the rest to make sure that this team wins a World Series. And if that's adding, the pitcher or two that you need in your starting rotation, then you can't, you come too far to not do the rest and add the other components that are necessary.
And we all know that the teams with the most talent don't necessarily win a world championship. Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer. I'm joined today by Chris Singleton. What a distinguished career in Major League Baseball, now an ESPN analyst. Chris, let's talk about this career. You went by way of the collegiate route, playing for the University of Nevada, and then you were drafted and made your Major League appearance on May 19, 2005 for the Tampa Bay Rays. Was baseball your go-to sport, even in high school, and your most passionate sport?
No, actually, I was a football player, and I went to college on a football scholarship, played football for the Wolfpack in Nevada, and really didn't play baseball for about 2 years after high school was over. I just was concentrating on football and playing, and one of the things, I was drafted out of high school by the Houston Astros, not high at all, just a 30th round pick. I was a kid that, played high school baseball, but I didn't play any summer ball or anything like that. I just went to football camp. So, my sights were set on playing Saturdays in college and the football season. So, but I did agree with my scholarship that, once I established myself in football, if I decided to want to play both sports, that they would allow me to do that. And so there was a provision there. And after a couple seasons of football, and once I was an established starter, I decided, hey, I want to go out and see if I'm even good enough to play college baseball. And I did. I went out and, played pretty well for not having played for a couple of years. And all of a sudden, started to feel like a kid again when I was in Little League and really excited about baseball. And followed up with another season of baseball after, you know, my third year of football, and then I was drafted by the Giants pretty high, and, you know, it was really my heart's desire at that point. It was pretty amazing how things had shifted, and I was having success in football, which, you know, perhaps there was a next level step that I could have taken after my college football career. But, you know, I really feel that God rebirthed a love for baseball in my heart, you know, after that second season, and he made a way for me to continue on. And so, you know, it's really interesting to see how things have worked out for me in my life.
Yes, indeed. And, of course, you were selected then by the San Francisco Giants in the second round, 48th overall. And your major league debut actually came with the Chicago White Sox. But talk about the progression up to the minor leagues, to the major leagues, and the maturation process, and how ultimately you gained confidence to make your debut with the Chicago White Sox.
Yeah, well, Ron, it was tough. It was really tough. I had a lot of work to do to try to catch up to baseball players in the minor leagues that had pretty much just been playing baseball their entire lives in the fall and in the spring and in the summer. And for me, that was just sort of a part-time, you know, guy, and had a lot of athletic ability. I had to really get my technical skill together and my feel for the game at that level. So I was able to have success off of just raw talent for a while. But, you know, ultimately, baseball is a game of adjustments. And if those adjustments aren't made, then you end up not going to the next level, or you end up getting released. And so there I was in a situation where it's like, man, this is tough. This is experiencing failure the way that I did. You know, it was hard. There were many nights you go home and you're thinking, man, this is a tough night, and then you got to turn it back right back around and play the next day. And so sometimes you want to slow things down. It was difficult. And I remember in 1998 sitting in the back of a church in Shreveport, Louisiana, with a mentor friend of mine, a guy named Rami Kujan. And you know, I was playing pretty well, and you know, I had some success in Double A, and I was back there for a second season and was an all-star again. And you know, was looking to see, you know, I was on the 40-man roster, so I was expecting a call-up in September, and I just didn't get that call-up, and, you know, things were tough, and I was really contemplating hanging it up and, you know, trying to determine, what do I need to do? I was young and married, and do I need to go and do something else? Do I need to move on with life instead of moving my wife and dog around and the country and trying to chase this dream? And so I remember it vividly, you know, very encouraging conversation and support from a friend to, you know, hang in there and keep going. And so one more season of the minor leagues, and, you know, was traded to the Yankees, played with the Yankees in AAA in 1998, and then I was traded to the White Sox and made the big league team. And that was, you know, a dream realized for me, and had a wonderful opportunity to play in the major leagues.
Chatting with Chris Singleton, former Major League player, now ESPN analyst. Well, Chris, this rookie season was quite good. You hit 300 with 17 home runs and 74 ribeyes, and great power numbers. You hit for the cycle, too, your rookie season. So that had to be a tremendous confidence booster for you.
It was, Ron. I mean, there's no question about that, and it was a real gift for me. I mean, so many things came together. I never hit double-digit home runs in the minor leagues. I just wasn't a power guy. I was a speed guy, and really didn't have, you know, true mechanics. You know, I was sort of a makeshift baseball player in a lot of ways. And again, my eye-hand coordination was pretty good, so that enabled me to, you know, put the bat on the ball and allow my speed to work. But to hit 17 home runs and to bat 300 in the major leagues, you know, that season was, just looking at it, was pretty amazing for where I had come from, and really set the foundation for the opportunities that I would continue to have in the major leagues. You know, as far as hitting for the cycle, again, that was just another incredible experience that God allowed me to have. And, you know, that night continues to live on. In fact, I was able to just share that story a couple of days ago, because there's a lot more to the story of what happened that night. But very inspirational in terms of the adversity and the things that can happen in life, and how through that series of hitting for the cycle, my first at bat that night was we were playing the Kansas City Royals at home in Chicago. I hit a line drive base hit to right center field, but as I finished my swing, I rolled my ankle and I fell down in the batter's box. And I got up and I hobbled to first base and was almost taken out of the game. It was the first inning of the game. And I managed to stay in, you know, to let somebody get warm on the bench and come in perhaps the next inning or two. And I ended up staying in that game that night and ended up hitting for the cycle, and almost walked out of the ballpark on crutches because just the swelling and everything in my ankle, but the adrenaline had taken over. But so there's a really good story laced in there of just, you know, getting up after you've been knocked down and, you know, playing with pain and staying in the game and, you know, things like that. So it's kind of cool how God blessed me with something, but I'm able to use that story, a real life experience, to motivate and inspire people through the tough times and seasons of life that they may go through.
Yeah, that's great stuff. And your career did go on for a few more years. You played with Baltimore, Oakland. But then, Chris, you talked about adversity, and you signed on to play actually with the Pittsburgh Pirates in 2004, but your contract was voided after a physical exam, and I think it was a pre-existing condition, and it was initially diagnosed as a simple infection, but it seemed to be something more serious, and this had to be a tough time for you, as you, I'm sure, wanted to continue on in your major league career.
Yeah, I was in a little bit of a crossroads. In 2002, with the Oakland A's, in spring training, I had a routine physical like all players do, and our team doctor found some lumps in the base of my neck, so they sent me for tests, and the tests were inconclusive, and just prior to the season, they sent me to San Francisco because they felt that I needed to have surgery. So it turned out I had to have lumps removed. There was a little bit of thyroid cancer that I had. And so one side was taken out of my thyroid and the other side was still intact, although there were some nodules there. And so when I went to spring training with the Pirates, I had was having some issues, just wasn't feeling great. And kind of this all came up and, you know, went to Pittsburgh, got checked out and everything else. And it turned out that, you know, they were uncomfortable with the fact that I had not had the other side of my thyroid removed, since I'd had one side removed and there was cancer in there. And so it was kind of a relief for me because at that point, I didn't know if I really wanted to play baseball anymore anyhow. I just had felt like I'd sort of run my course and wanted to move on with life and pursue some other things as far as, you know, ministry and business and everything else. And so it was kind of nice to have been released by the Pirates because it you know, kept me from having to make a decision that I just, you know, wasn't at full strength to make in terms of, you know, stepping away from the game. Because when you play this game and it's so hard to make it to the big leagues and it's so hard to have success and it's so hard to stay there, that there is this pressure that you have to stay here as long as you possibly can. You can't ever leave. They've got to rip the jersey off of your back. And I just never was wired that way.
Right.
And, you know, I had other things in life that I definitely wanted to pursue and continue on with. And so as I was a little bit in that mode, if you will, or mindset, that spring training, it actually kind of was a burden lifted when I was released by the Pirates.
All right, let's take a break. Where this Major League Baseball player sets his foundation. More with Chris Singleton. Keep it right here. You're listening to Less to Play.
Hi, I'm Doug Keck, and this is an EW10 Bookmark Brief. I just had the pleasure of interviewing Patricia Sandoval on her book, Transfigured. Tell us, Patricia, this book which you wrote with Christine Watkins, what is it about?
It's my life story. It's my testimony of, you know, being fooled by the whole safe sex, sexual education that I received as a child, and had three abortions. Thought I had aborted three sack of tissues, didn't think it was a baby, and I suffered tremendously after each abortion, what is called post-abortion syndrome, and then that's when I worked with Planned Parenthood, mm-hmm. and I saw the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's a lot of shame behind abortion. It's not easy telling your story, but with this book, I didn't hold back at all.
The book is Transfigured, Patricia Sandoval's Escape from Drugs, Homelessness, and the Back Doors of Planned Parenthood. She wrote along with Christine Watkins, and it is available through the EWTN Religious Catalog. Thank you so much. Check it out, and look for the entire interview coming soon on EWTN's Bookmark Show. I'm Doug Keck. This has been a Bookmark Brief.
Welcome back to Blessed to Play. And now, here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Welcome back to Blessed to Play. Ron Meyer joined today by Chris Singleton, enjoyed a career in Major League Baseball for six seasons, and now can be heard on ESPN Radio Sunday Night Baseball, also does postseason. So look for Chris doing that this upcoming Major League Baseball season. Chris, I know faith is a very, very important part of your life, and that's where you set your foundation. Was this always for you during your life?
I would say I was raised in a home that had a religious tone to it in terms of, going to church, going through the formality of church, for the most part, I'd say. But it, wasn't until I was 18 years old till I had a real encounter with God, and it radically changed my life. It wasn't something I was expecting. It wasn't something I was looking for, and it wasn't something that I wanted, quite frankly. I wanted to just have fun, and I wanted to enjoy my college years and enjoy being young and doing all the things that, young people do. And so I had no plan of having a relationship with God during that time. I thought maybe when I got older, maybe into my 40s or 50s, that I'd settle down with church and figure things out. But I'm thankful God had another plan for my life. So, it was interrupted big time. And by the grace of God, I was able to just, hold on and walk through a sort of a door that would lead me into just a totally different world and a totally different life than I would have ever imagined.
So you talk about this totally different life, and you enter a occupation, if you will, that's filled with, especially making it to the major league level, with glitz, glamour, a lot of access, and you're trying to live a faithful life. Talk about that, because it could be conflicting, I think, on a certain level, but your faith, I'm sure, did keep you grounded.
Yeah, it really comes down to, ultimately, God's grace, depending upon that, our pride can puff us up, and if we tend to think that, we got everything together and we can really maintain a solid or strong walk, it's really just reverting back to religious discipline as opposed to a relationship with God to grow. But, I found that when God is real to you, when the Holy Spirit is real to you and there's a presence that you embrace, that it is the greatest deterrent from sin. We sin when we think that no one's watching or no one's around or no one, or ultimately it becomes about us, selfishness. And when you try to live with a God, consciousness and awareness of His presence, it's great because on one end, you're never alone. You always are, have God, you're aware of His presence with you. But then also as well, it helps to keep you from doing things or entering into situations that would grieve Him and the Holy Spirit. And so for me, that was a great help. And again, I wasn't smart enough to kind of figure out this mindset, but it was all a gift. It's all a gift from the beginning and to where it is now.
Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer, once again chatting with Chris Singleton, former Major League Baseball player. Chris, we know that to be strengthened in your one's walk with faith, you have to have support around you. Has there been anybody inspiring, a teammate, coach perhaps, somebody that inspired you spiritually during your athletic career?
Sure, I've had so many people. I just jogging my mind. I mean, I think of a good friend and mentor of mine, a guy named Tom Roy, is the founder of UPI. It's Unlimited Potential Incorporated. It's a baseball ministry that's been around a long time. And Tom and I met and became friends way back in the mid-90s. And done some mission trips with him over to Germany, and we've taught baseball and shared Jesus with, you know, kids there. And, you know, so he's been probably over the entire time from the beginning of my sort of baseball career, you know, and through that, you know, he's been a fixture, at least, you know, in the earlier years. So I've always appreciated, you know, him and the relationship I had. I think my pastor in college as well, when I got saved, and the pastor that I ended up having when I was at Nevada, Reno, just poured so much into my life and was able to be part of their family. And, you know, his son is my best friend to this day. And, you know, it's just been, our families are very close. I'm still very close with Pastor Taylor and his wife. And it's just, you know, it's just so wonderful when you come into the kingdom and the relationships and the people that God brings and the connection that you have. And you find that in many ways you're closer and more connected with these people that you have no bond in terms of DNA or blood or anything like that with, but, mm-hmm. you know, the blood of Jesus that's united you and connected you is, you know, they're eternal relationships. So I'm so thankful, and I couldn't express just how grateful I am for the people that God has brought into my life and allowed me to do life with and share and be encouraged by, as well as encouraged over the years. And I think that's perhaps what will happen, at least for a long time, once we all, you know, get to the to heaven and the new heaven and the new earth, is just talking about the goodness of God. That's going to take a long time. You know, people wonder, what are we going to do in heaven? Are we going to get bored after a little while, right? It's like, well, it's going to take a long time just for people to share their stories and what God has done and, you know, and all that good stuff. So, yeah, that'll be something that I definitely look forward to.
Now, as a baseball player, you obviously had to practice to hone your skills and to become better. And I would think in the spiritual life that you have to have some practices and disciplines to maintain your relationship with God. Could you talk about that as well?
Sure. You know, I was kind of raised spiritually that, you know, first thing you do, you get up, you know, you talk to the Lord when you get up in the morning, and you get in your word, you know, you read your Bible, you know, you get the word of God into your heart and let it, you know, transform and work and let it shape your mindset and your attitude. And but it doesn't end there. I mean, it really is the wonderful thing about a relationship is that, you know, you can pray and commune with God throughout the day. And mm-hmm. It's not something that is, you know, limited to a certain time or space, but, you know, you actually live a life that is powerful. I think it was there's a theologian, Dozier, I think, just an old theologian that, you know, talked about, you know, anywhere is a place of prayer. And when I discovered that and was set free by the fact that, man, my faith is portable, and it's something that, you know, I need to, more times than not, you know, be in an attitude of prayer or thanksgiving throughout the day, because, you know, this calling that we all have when we come into the faith, sometimes we think, well, it's just, you know, I got saved, I'm going to heaven, things are better. You know, that's the beginning. That's like getting to the big leagues. Hey, I'm just happy to be here. You know, this is wonderful. Look at the lights. Look at the baseballs. They're really bright. Man, I get these bats with my name on it. That's wonderful. But then all of a sudden you realize that, now I'm here to help my team win. I'm here to make an impact. I'm here to, and I think that those are next steps as well in your faith, is that you start to to understand that this is a lot bigger than me and, you know, my happiness and my peace. It's about how do I prepare myself and position myself to serve others and to be a light and to have an impact. And so with that mindset, you don't take these breaks or these extended breaks or long breaks where, all right, I had my devotions this morning, but, you know, somehow you left your word and you left the Spirit of God at home. You know, he's got to go with you. And you need to just be more sensitive and more aware because, you know, God is always at work. Jesus said that, you know, the Father is always working. And, you know, we want to be alongside and partnering with him in what he wants to do and using our world. And that's as far as your network, your friends, the people that God brings you across their paths, of just being aware because you are the person for that job. You're the person for that assignment. And so you don't want to miss those opportunities.
Yeah. Well, a lot of wisdom from Chris Singleton. I wish we had more time, Chris. Thank you so much for your witness and your presence, too. I really do appreciate it. And it's good to know that there's a faithful guy out there in the booth at ESPN and shedding some sunshine in his everyday life. So thanks so much, Chris. I appreciate you coming on. Blessed to Play.
Hey, Ron. God bless you. Thank you.
Hey, Blessed to Play fans, check us out on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number 2, play.com. You can like us on Facebook and follow the show right on Twitter at Blessed to Play. For Chris Singleton, I'm Ron Meyer, asking you to compete well for the faith in your everyday life.
You've been listening to Blessed to Play with host Ron Meyer on the EWTN Global Catholic Network. If you have a question or comment about today's show, feel free to email us at info@blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number 2, play.com. You can also connect with the show on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. Again, that's blessed, the number 2, play.com. Join us again next time for Blessed to Play on the EWTN Global Catholic Network.